You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Well, welcome everybody. You are officially on the couch, as you always are, here on Tuesdays at 12 noon. And as always, I have a fabulous guest. I'm Dr. Michelle Cohen, and as always, we're talking about one of my favorite subjects. I have many favorite subjects, but one of the most favorite subjects I have is about the concept of compassion. And you've heard in my work, guys, you've been with me a long time here at the station, you know about how I feel when we're talking about the importance of compassion, not only towards one another, all right, but also especially right now and what we've been going through for the past year and a half plus is this pandemic situation. And I'm talking about compassion from healthcare workers. And so is my special guest, who you can see with me live here on LA Talk Radio on our Facebook page. And also, if you're listening out there at latalkradio.com, it's nice to have you with me, everybody. So Lee Tomlinson, welcome to the couch. So nice to hear you and see you.
Hope you it's good to be here.
Great.
It's good to be here.
Good, good, good. Well, we're talking about Lee's book today. You may have seen him all over social media, his TED Talk, and all of the organizations he's spoken to that have been recorded, all of the social media you can follow up. This book that he wrote right here. Did I catch the glare? There you go. Now, there you go. Compassion Heals from Self-Care to Healthcare. Lee Tomlinson, this is about what we need right now. You did such an amazing job, because this is what I'm talking about. This is what everybody needs, is the compassion. But I really know you've had an amazing long journey with the healthcare system, and also a lot of issues that you've had to deal with in terms of injuries, diseases throughout your life. And I want to really, you know, share the importance of how we can help the healthcare community out there, and how you help them through your book, and also people to understand not only what healthcare workers are going through, but also just the importance of just giving compassion in general. Now, I want to do a real quick intro so you'll know a little bit more if you haven't seen Lee, if you're one of the rare people who hasn't checked him out on social media. So Lee, you have been in quite a journey, and you had a life that many would have considered charmed, right? So you've had a successful world-trotting tennis pro life. Amazing. That's amazing. International business marketing genius behind the American Film Institute's 10-year-long 100 greatest movies, CBS TV specials, multi-million dollar fundraising campaigns, major Hollywood film studio owner. Yeah, I mean, your career just blows me away. And, of course, loving husband and a scratch golfer. Now, that's really important, that part, right? So,
Yes, the last part in particular. The last two parts in particular.
Yes, you're so cute. And then the world crashed down for you. And then, as it says here, the world crashed down for you, Lee Tomlinson. So I want to share with the world out there, you know, a little bit about your journey. What happened to you that really made you realize, oh, my God, I've got to write this book and share this with everyone?
Well, thank you. It's great to be here. And as you suggested, clinical history is the any everyday. Granted, a true blessing. You said, you know, I've been hospitalized all over the world, so I've spent a lifetime in medical care, mostly caused by my addiction to adrenaline, but, you know, some bad luck as well. However, on June 23rd, 2012, at 10:28 a.m., but who's counting, I went into my ENT for a routine allergy test. I had qualified, I'm proud to say, for the California State Senior Am golf tournament. But I couldn't breathe. You know, my allergies were acting. New pills. I went 3 hours later, walked out diagnosis, of stage 3, stage 4 throat cancer that had spread to some lymph nodes.
My God.
I started treatment 3 days later. That was a Thursday. That Monday, I started treatment. Went in for a brief conversation with them on Friday, and they said, we're not sure 3 or 4, but advance.
Yeah.
First question was, so they said, so we've got to start treatment immediately. This is life-threatening. That's great. But can I play in the the state golf championships first? First thing.
Right.
Things first, right?
Why not?
To me, like I was the dumbest human on the face of the planet. Things that we're going to do. One, surgery. The tumor for throat cancer was at the base of my tongue, which meant that they probably would have my tongue.
Gosh. Yeah.
My speech. And at 62, that's not an option. If you remove my voice, I can't live. I'm already dead. What's not option number two? They said, we don't have an option two. And they said, but okay, we're going to give you as much chemo and radiation as we ethically can.
My God.
And if you survive it, you might be able to get cancer. So I started 3 months of chemo, followed by 35 straight days of atomic blasts to the tumor at the base of my tongue, which is a little bit like swallowing a cherry bomb.
Yeah.
On Monday, putting another one in on Tuesday, another one in on Wednesday, another one in on anyway, at the very end of that, when I was just about finished with that, up in an ER, I'd passed out and was being hospitalized. Now, for an unidentifiable septic infection at the site of my port.
Oh, my God.
So now I'm dying of cancer.
Yeah.
I'm dying of an infection I can't even name. I can't work. I'm running up massive medical bills. I'm a jerk when I'm really concerned. So my life was a mess. It was a time I could have been simple human kindness in that hospital, and I got zero. Zero.
Oh, wow.
These were the rudest, most insensitive, unresponsive, unkind, totally lacking in compassion humans I had ever met. And when I experienced that at that low point, it literally, I thought, well, I put my life in these people's hands. These are gods and goddesses to me.
Yeah.
If they don't think I'm worth it, then they must be right. So I just, in my life, put on the patch, go to sleep, and my family would collect on a gigantic Keymath insurance policy at the studio.
Wow.
Yay, great way to finally be of value to my family and friends. Oh. The day after I got out of the hospital, a doctor pal came to visit. Wonderful, wonderful, kind human being. I was able barely to croak out all of my complaints and the misery I had suffered and the pain and why they were so mean. And towards the end of it, I took a breath and he stopped. He said, he lowered his head, put on my awfully said,
I think we're having a little trouble hearing Lee.
It is happening more and more.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Can you hear me now?
Now I can hear you better. You were pausing.
And he said it's happening more and more in healthcare.
Yeah, the fact that there's no compassion.
Sorry about that. I don't know why that happened.
Yeah.
And he said, no wonder you feel that way. He said, but rather than giving up and giving in, how about this? How about you fight? And if you're lucky enough to survive, spend the rest of your life trying to reverse the rapidly disappearing, scientifically proven healing of compassion in healthcare today. And his belief in me, his apology to me,
Right.
Touched my heart so deeply, it gave me the will and the purpose to fight and live. And that's what I've been doing ever since. That's what kept me alive through a lot of absolute total misery. So that's what I'm doing. And the book is part of that. I've done several hundred keynotes around the world. And we're producing a feature length.
Oh. Well, I think I think we keep freezing in space. There you are. So you're producing, you're going
to produce, to.
Well, I think we just lost Patient Lee, as he's called. But we're going to try to get him up on the air again so that you guys can learn more about his book that he's going to be talking about. And it's about Compassion Heals, Lee Tomlinson. It's about his journey into getting cancer and then healing from it, but also how difficult it was for him to maintain a positive thought and maintain more positive health within the healthcare system, which was very difficult for him. So Lee was just telling us about his journey of having cancer, throat cancer particularly, and how that really debilitated him and how he felt horrible because he went through chemotherapy and he went through radiation and suffered a great deal. And there he is back up with us. And I'm just sharing.
Sorry about that.
No worries, Lee. I'm just recapping your story a little bit and how, you know, what really drove him to write this book, which was sort of the lack of compassion in the healthcare system and all that. So, you know, I mean, I just totally. now you're coming through great. So we can, you know, continue on. You were talking about the fact that you all are going to have a documentary about your message and
yes.
your career. Oh, that's great.
Yes.
Is that going to be coming out soon?
Well, we're in the process right now of putting it together. So we're just barely starting it. The book was the next step after my keynote addresses.
Oh, that's amazing.
But we're absolutely working on it. We've secured several very high-level corporate partners to help us make it and distribute it. I can't release their names yet, but it's very exciting.
That's okay.
And again, my goal was to remind healthcare professionals of the need to be compassionate to their patients and to themselves.
Yes.
To make sure they're healthy enough and not burned out, so be compassionate. The only way I'm going to reach 22 million American healthcare workers is with a movie. So the book, the movie, the keynotes, I'm doing everything I can think of to get that message out there.
Oh, that's amazing. And I know you are. And by the way, you have really have an urgency to speak to everyone about your drive for compassion and encouragement and a call to action. And I understand that you've spoken to John Hopkins Medicine, Memorial Sloan Kettering, and also UCLA right here, really close to us, at the Medical Center, Eli Lilly and Company, Providence Health and Services, Geffen School of Medicine, Bristol-Myers Squibb, and the list goes on and on. The City of Hope, which is the best cancer center, Adventist Health, National Oncology Nurses, on and on. And what I love about your presentations, Lee, and this is your plan in a way, but it's the truth. You come out there on stage in a gown, in a patient gown. It's like, here you are, you know, and and it's so. Can you talk about your message in this patient gown? Because it just gives that feeling of, here I am, this guy here in the hospital in a patient gown. And it's compelling. You know, your speeches are compelling. So what I want to do is I want to get into what you talk about.
Well, you know, it's funny about that.
No, it's really, yeah. No, it's really amazing. So, you said something that just blew me away. And that's, I wanted to hit this at the end, but I think it's really important up front. I'm going to quote you here. I have on my notes. You say, quote, I lost my business, I lost my fortune, my health, my wife, my career. Cancer took everything that I had. But it led to where I am now, where I've never been so joyous. How did you get there? You are amazing. You're such an inspiration.
Well, so first of all, it took time. It took hard work. It took looking at the experience. And I kept asking myself, why did this happen to me?
Yeah.
Why did I get cancer? I never smoked, never drank, marathon runner, mountain climber, healthy as can be. And I got advanced throat cancer. To be perfectly honest, rage. Absolutely giving me cancer. I could think people who maybe deserve it. People used to say to me, Lee, when one door closes or in pain of any kind and someone tells you that, you want to smack them.
Oh, yeah.
You just don't get it. You know, it's so simple. Another door will open.
Yeah.
The problem is that most of us get so fixated on the door that closed, we never notice the ones that open.
Sure.
So when I was thinking about, you know, so my doctor friend said, start a movement, you know, see if you can't bring compassion back to modern medicine.
Right.
And reverse the fact that 50% of patients report getting zero.
Right.
And so I started thinking, well, now that I've regained my voice, I can speak. Maybe I can find some people who'd like to hear my message. And sure enough, reached out to somebody at a big hospital group, and they had me come speak.
Oh.
And the response I got from those people in the audience, who are all big wigs at that hospital, every division, nurses, mm-hmm. doctors, yeah. Administration, payments, everybody said, you know, we get it. We have forgotten compassion. And they committed to our challenge, which is, we call it the Compassion Heals Challenge, which is
right.
7 days,
right.
free to do one single kind act a day for 7 days.
I love
so
it.
So I thought, wow, people are responding to this. They're taking action. They're not just sitting around waiting. So that's when I started reaching out and beginning to do the conversations that I was having. At the beginning of COVID, I'd been working on a book for a while. And then COVID came and I was able to complete it. So I began to look at what in the world, cancer has gotten me to a place where I get to serve others and help relieve their pain.
Yeah.
I always wanted to be a doctor or a nurse. I didn't have the brains or the stomach
yes.
for it. No way in the world I was going to be a doctor
yeah.
or a nurse. But
right.
I didn't want to relieve turn that into an opportunity to speak with, work with, cooperate with, collaborate with tens and tens and tens of thousands of healthcare workers who tell me, thank you for your message. It changed
yeah.
my life. So I would say, while it was never a pleasure, cancer got me to what I was meant to do. And that is more kindness, more goodness, more giving, more sharing
right.
into the world. And the only way I was going to get out of entertainment to be able to do that was to lose it all.
Yeah.
So I didn't like it. I hated it.
Mm-hmm.
But it got yeah. me where I'm at today, and I've never been more fulfilled personally or professionally. Am I as rich as I want? No. But I get more joy out of giving joy to others and helping them recover it than anything I've ever done.
Oh,
it's an amazing transformation, but it's true.
It
cancer
is.
Was a blessing for me.
Oh,
not a pleasure, but a blessing.
That is amazing. You know, you are a highly evolved human now. You have risen.
I can't hear you.
Ah, well, let's see if we're working. Okay, can you hear me now? Are we communicating pretty well now? Nope.
I still can't hear you. I am so sorry. Technical issues, Doc.
Oh, yeah. That's okay. That's okay. And if you have to drop out for a bit and just recalibrate or set something up better for your computer, that's fine too.
Can you hear me? I
yeah,
can't hear you.
I can hear you. You got me?
Should I call back in?
Sure, why not?
I'll do that.
Let's try. All right, we're going to lose Lee again because we have a little bit of a glitch. Here's the book we're talking about, Lee Tomlinson, Compassion Heals. And it's really all about, not only about healthcare workers and how they can help, you know, patients recover from a lot of illnesses because of compassion, some of the things they can do. This is not, you know, only for them, but it's also for everybody. You know, how can you have more compassion for other people, and how can you spread the word to just bring a little joy into everyone's life, the small little things you can do out and about in the world. But primarily this book is about Lee, who journeys all over talking about, you know, how healthcare workers who are really burnt out, you know, and having a rough time and have had for the last year and a half with the COVID pandemic, and how they can really, you know, just be a little less burnt out themselves. So the book is not about, let's put down the healthcare system. I mean, the frontline workers, everyone involved, you know, in healthcare, you guys are amazing, no matter who you are. And you're doing your job, and that's what you were trained to do. So we're not putting down anyone or saying that healthcare workers are poor or not good or anything like that. But I wanted to show you guys the back of the book here about patient Lee Tomlinson and what he wears when he speaks. I don't know if you guys can see this or not, but he's in his, you know, there he is. He's in his patient gown, speaking to all of his groups, and, you know, about the importance.
And it's never not embarrassing.
Right. There you go. No.
I walk out there and it's like I'm already humiliated. And that is how every patient is in your presence.
Sure.
From the moment they see you, and that's why I wear it, is to drive that point home. I'm not a doctor. Yeah. I'm not a nurse. I'm not a scientist. I'm a patient. Done a lot of work to understand the comfort, compassion side of your business, but I'm not a doctor or a nurse.
Right. Right. Exactly. And as I was saying,
when we put our lives in their hands, they treat us badly. Can
you know? It's interesting because I was saying when you had tuned out,
if we you keep can, freezing,
I'm freezing again. Well, we're gonna try to get Engineer Sam out there to help us. So. You know, if you want to just, again, go out, I don't know if you can hear me. Can you hear me okay? I guess he can't hear me either. Anyway, we're going to try this again. We're going to try to get patient Lee out.
Now.
How's that? Is that better?
I'm so sorry. I don't know. I got 4 bars. I got everything. I mean, I did one an hour ago. It should be fine.
I don't know, but we're trying to get it done. And perhaps maybe we should just go on to the audio version. And there he is. He's off again. Maybe we should just do the audio version. That might be a good idea, too. So, you know, if Engineer Sam wants to, we can get this up and running and figure it out. Okay. Can you hear me now?
No.
Okay.
Well, and it's not only that, I can hear you, although it is breaking up a bit, but I can hear you.
Okay. So why don't we...
Now I can't, and you're frozen.
All right. I'm not sure if Engineer Sam, you want to text me or let me know what we can do to just maybe perhaps just do an audio version where we won't have to worry about the video. Just give me a text and then we can go from there. But what I'm going to do, because I think listeners can hear me.
Sound is definitely breaking up.
Okay. What I'm going to do for my listeners, because I don't think we're having a problem here on our end either, because the Wi-Fi is up and we're rocking here in the studio. So I think everything's going well. But what I'm going to do is just try to convey.
I'm going to try a different camera.
Let's try that.
Different camera.
All right. We're going to try a different camera. So apparently there are techniques psychologically and questions that healthcare workers and everyone else who works with the public in any way can sort of ask themselves about how they may be coming off to other people. And, you know, so we're going to be talking about some of those questions that Lee brought up in his book about compassion healing. And also we're going to talk about some of the statistics that show how important compassion is when it comes to healthcare. So, and again, this discussion is not about how poor, you know, the healthcare system is. And this is not putting down doctors, nurses, other really important healthcare workers. This is not about that. This is saying that, wow, we've all been experiencing burnout in the healthcare system. I, as a psychologist, have been dealing with so many patients, you know, each week, each day, you know, that it's very easy for healthcare workers, for us to experience burnout. But my job as a psychologist is to give compassion and understanding. I've been lucky enough to learn about that. And I've been lucky enough because I've read books like, you know, Lee Tomlinson's Compassion Heals, which has really helped me, you know, learn a lot about, you know, some of the questions I need to ask myself about how I really am coming off to patients possibly and how I can, you know, work to be better or a better support system in a very honest and transparent way. So you can get all this information also from Lee's book. So some of the questions that I have found that we can ask ourselves just as people, and if we work out there in the public, if we work out there in the healthcare system or whatever situation you might be working at, you might want to ask yourself some questions like this. Did I attune? Okay, what does that mean? That means, did I connect with myself before connecting with my patients or the public I'm working with or certain friends who are having a rough time right now? Did I give the patient I'm working with, or did I give the people in the public that I'm dealing with or trying to help, or people close in my life? Did I give them my full attention and focus on their current state? To really listen to other people, to really try to understand what they're going through and what they've suffered through, or just being someone who's listening and supportive and showing compassion. So we can't really connect meaningfully with others unless we're really tuned into ourselves. Okay, so there's ways that you can really get tuned into yourself. Yeah. You know, there's so much about being in the present or learning about the now and how you can be aware of what's going on now and not zoning out. So I think there's a lot of techniques in Lee Tomlinson's book, which is Compassion Heals, about, and we'll be talking about how you can get the book as well, about how to really sort of get in touch with yourself and be in more with the now so you can be more in touch with people and support them and really be present to listen to what they're saying. Now, there's another question that you might want to ask yourself, just not only if you're a healthcare worker, but if you're dealing with the public and or with family or friends and you're tuning out a lot or you're not present. You have to ask yourself sometimes, did I wonder what these people I'm working with could teach me about themselves? Was I open-minded? Do I remember that everyone has a unique backstory? Now, these are some of the other questions that Lee Tomlinson recommends in his book, Compassion Heals. I see we're up and running, and let's see if Lee can hear me now. No?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's okay, honey. I think we made it. We finally made it.
Yeah, me too, but I'm sorry for all the difficulties.
Oh, no worries. No worries. You know, I was just talking about in your book how, you know, you talked earlier about your mission and the struggles you had and how that one doctor friend of yours came in and inspired you to write this book and really create a compassion, you know, based foundation for a lot of healthcare workers. And I was telling folks that it not only applies to healthcare workers,
yes,
it's also with people who are dealing with the public in any kind of work. People who might be on Zoom sessions or, you know, people who with their families and friends even who are zoned out you know, and yes. You talk about being present and how important it is for people to, you know, become aware more of themselves. So you have some suggestions about how people can really become more aware of themselves in order to help others. Can you give us a little bit of
idea? Well, you know, the thing is, it's interesting. If you look at the scientific data, receiving compassion, kindness, simple human kindness, has dramatic and measurable impacts on our mental, physical, and emotional and spiritual health.
Right.
So that being true, we know that it has to be declared medically necessity for medical patients when they're treated in a hospital.
Right.
That having been said, giving compassion gives the same benefits to the person who's giving it as the person receiving it. If you want to feel better about you, about your life, about everything, go volunteer.
Yeah.
Go do something kind. It's the response from it will make you, literally, it releases pleasure chemicals into your body. It lowers your blood pressure. It increases your sense of self-worth simply by being kind for another.
Right.
So what we suggest is that, look, the world needs compassion because we're genetically designed for connection. We must connect with others or we literally shrivel and die. Or get furiously angry and take it out on everybody else. If you look at the people who've been done mass shootings, they're the most unhappy, angry, rage-filled humans on the face of the planet. Right. And they have not got much kindness and compassion in their life. And the only way they can feel seen and heard is by shooting people in a mall. Happy people don't shoot people. That doesn't mean you're happy all the time. But we do know scientifically that giving and getting kindness from another can dramatically improve our mental, physical, and emotional health. So in a world that's filled with more violence and hate and expressions of that and misogynism and sexism and racism, we're wondering, I'm just one little person. You know, what the heck can I do?
Right.
Here's the answer.
Yeah.
Be kind.
Yes.
You want to feel better? Be kind to someone. You want to make someone else be better, feel better? Be kind to them. It sounds so simple, but now it's medically proven.
Yes,
to give those benefits. So we encourage people and have gotten huge percentages of healthcare professionals who work their tushes off every single day, are worn out and have too much to do. Those lovely angels. Yeah. We say, all right, if you're healthy, I want you to be even a little more so. Will you commit to one more kind act a day than you normally would? Just one, on purpose. Walking down the street, give somebody a glance. Give a dollar to a homeless person. Go serve food in a charitable kitchen. Whatever it is, do it and you'll feel better and you'll give it.
Right.
The other thing is that's miraculous is compassion is so powerful that if we have enough of it, our anger, our rage, our frustration lessens, and eventually goes away.
Yep.
And when we get it and when we give it and we have those wonderful feelings for having given or gotten it, we pass it along. So it's the gift that keeps on giving. So every time you give a gift to somebody, as little as it might be, it has a massive impact on them, whether they realize it or not, but they walk away feeling happier. Wasn't that cool that they opened the door for me? What? And as they're walking, they have a high tendency to pass along. So if we can get enough people to commit to just being one little kind act a day more than they are now, yes, we can change the world. Yes, we can begin to connect as human beings, forgetting our religions, forgetting our sex, forgetting our race. We can connect as human beings, which we are in our DNA. That's how we survived the dinosaurs. Wasn't survival of the strongest, the meanest, the most violent.
Right.
No, they got eaten by tyrannosaurs. What it was survival of the kindness. When somebody had the courage to walk up to somebody else and say, you're probably going to get eaten tonight.
Yeah.
How about this? I'm going to watch you while you sleep. Would you mind doing the same for me? That's how we form communities. That's how we survived. And if we can survive the dinosaurs, we can survive and come together right here, right now, despite our differences, as simple, basic human beings, all with the need to connect and feel that connection between us and other people. So how to do it? Start doing kind acts.
Yes.
Just it's that simple. It sounds so simple, but if you intentionally walk out and say, okay, sometime in the next hour, I want to find something I can do for somebody else. Oh, there's a guy, you know, who missed a basket. He's pushing all the baskets up to the Ralphs.
Yeah.
I'm going to go slide my basket over to him rather than make him come in 120 degree heat to grab. That person is going to be thrilled. You're going to be thrilled, and everybody wins.
Right.
So, you know, just look for those opportunities. And here's the other part. Healthcare workers are my angels. I'm alive because of them today.
Yes.
And they have a tendency to give and give and give.
Yes.
And not put their needs first.
Right.
Which renders them burned out, which renders them incapable of being compassionate.
Right.
So even though they think they're being, you know, solid and a team member and we're going to not stop until everybody's over COVID or whatever it is.
Yep.
That doesn't work because if you're burned out, you have more medical errors. You're not competent anymore, as good as you could be.
Yes.
And you're unable to be compassionate as well.
Right.
So my message is not about you got to be more compassionate. Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
But start with you.
Right. Exactly.
Compassion requires that you look deep inside yourself, see and feel the pain you have, and never take it out on anybody else.
Right. Right.
You know, that's the answer to compassion. And work on relieving that pain by self-care. And then once you're healthy again, and I went through that, I'm still going through that process.
Sure.
I still have pain. I still have anger. I still have all of that.
Sure you do.
But less. And I'm much more able now to express that natural, genetically designed kindness and compassion that we are all born with.
Yes, we are.
And it gets beaten out of us sometimes, and that's when the trouble starts.
Yes, beautifully said, Lee. Thank you so much for that. In case you just kind of checked in here, guys, you're on the couch here with Dr. Michelle Cohen. That's me. My special guest here, Lee Tomlinson. He's the author of this book. It's a beauty. It's Compassion Heals. It's all about his journey. And a little bit, he's got some backstory too about how he, growing up, thought he was Superman. And and his sister challenged him to fly. And
well, let's be very
clear. You're
always
a devil, man.
Well, let's be very clear. I am, in fact, the son of Superman. And I did, in fact, fly. My sister dared me. She dared me. She dragged me up to the second story, said, all right, bud. Show me you can fly or shut up about it because we're sick of hearing it. Without hesitating, I learned, A, never trust my sister, and B, I'm going to do it. If you dare me, I'm doing it. Arms up, like Superman. I flew. I absolutely did. I remember it. My landing sucked. I landed on the top of my head, had a severe concussion, and broke a bunch of fingers. Woke up with my clavicle broken. So I woke up in a body cast.
Oh, my God.
But I flew, and I did prove it. I am Superman. But that was the first medical interaction other than my birth. That was my first medical interaction. And there have been hundreds since. For reasons probably as crazy as that one. But again, I'm Superman's son. What can I tell you?
You have an addiction to adrenaline, I hear.
I do. Oh, my God, yes.
What's up with that? Tell me some of the goofy things that you've done.
Oh, so I played the tennis tournament in Kenya.
Yeah.
And got to the won the tournament actually. And somebody said, you know, have you ever climbed a mountain? No. Well, let's hire some guides and let's go climb Mount Kenya.
Oh, sure.
Sure. I mean, it's not quite as high as Kilimanjaro, but it's a technical climb. I didn't know ropes and I didn't know any of that stuff.
Yeah.
But shoot, sounds great. I'm you know, 100 degrees here and it'll be, you know, 20 up there. Let's go do it. Well, coming down, about halfway down, I slipped and fell and fractured one of the bones of my leg. So I could barely walk.
Oh,
and I was stuck. And I said, well, I have a helicopter. They said, helicopters can't get up this high. We got to get you down to 10,000 feet. And we're at 16,550.
Oh, right?
So, yeah. So they literally, took a day for me to get, a few thousand feet. And it was excruciating. But so that's one of the crazy things. Somebody dared me once to do a 1.5 flip off the side of a boat we had rented in the Dead Sea, actually, in Israel. And I took the challenge.
Yes.
I did the 1.5, but I hit my head on the edge of the boat, and it actually knocked me unconscious. So I'm floating face down in the water, unconscious, and everybody thought I was making a joke.
Oh, my gosh.
So nobody came in to get me. Finally, somebody went, I don't think he's kidding, and they dove in and pulled me in and resuscitated me. So those are, a couple of little things, but, they've happened all over the world. Wow. I've been hospitalized. You name a country, I've probably been hospitalized there.
You are so funny. You're such a daredevil. Oh, the good news, the good news about the Dead Sea is you're pretty buoyant in the Dead Sea.
Yes, yes. You can't sink, which is an amazing experience. You go in, you lie on your back, and it's like you're on a board.
There you go.
Yeah. And it's gorgeous, too. I got to say, Israel.
Oh, it is.
And Kenya. Kenya is... I sent my parents there for their 50th wedding anniversary.
Did you? What a wonderful! Oh, that's amazing! What a wonderful experience!
Yep. So I've been a patient all my life. So I've been watching, and what's interesting, as I look back on my past to those medical experiences, I had some of the most beautiful, touching, caring moments, whether people spoke my language or not. And I've been treated in China, where provinces where nobody spoke English.
Right.
But they were so kind, I felt safe. And that was huge for me because I'm in a foreign country. I don't know what's wrong with me. I can't quite understand them. But somehow or other, they connected with me non-verbally in ways that demonstrated that they cared deeply about me. And I felt safe, and I knew eventually they'd figure it out. Exactly. And I'm alive to bear witness to the fact that they did that more often than not.
Sure.
So.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh,
until I got in that hospital, I'd really never had a bad experience in healthcare.
Wow.
And then it was just one after another, after another, after another.
Right.
It broke my heart, broke my spirit, and made me think in that moment that the world would be a better place without me. And that's the power of compassion. When you don't get it, it just destroys you. It hurts. Yeah. When someone is mean or insensitive or unkind, it's incredibly damaging in measurable ways to you, your body, and your spirit. So, it's a simple way to solve the problems of the world in a way that we can all help. It works. It absolutely works. You just got to do it.
It does. You have a lot of statistics in your book here about all of the amazing experiments that were done and, the positive outcomes of the importance of compassion and sharing that, you really do care. And again, you don't need to tell someone. You can just pick it up with someone's eye, sort of their connection with looking at you and the way they touch you and the way that they lean and the body language and everything. And energy, I'm a big proponent of energy, which can be measured. And that is huge. We're all picking up to others' energy and sensitivity about that. And there's a lot of research done on that as well. So
there is. And it absolutely. Yeah. So there's a story about a fellow in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Who wrote a note saying, I'm going to walk to the bridge, Golden Gate. I'm going to walk to the bridge.
Right.
And jump in.
Oh.
Unless I make eye contact with one human being on the
way. Oh, my God.
They found his body the next day. Nobody made eye contact with him.
I have never heard that story. Oh, my God.
Absolutely true story. And so when you look at all he needed was what you just said, which is, I see you. Hello. Just a glance, just a nod.
Right.
And he would not have committed suicide.
Man.
That's how disassociated he was with human beings. All he wanted was a simple human contact. Didn't have to be physical, just a glance.
Wow.
And it's true. Compassion is not about the size of the gesture.
Right.
It's not about what you say or do.
Right.
It's about how you make people feel.
Right.
There's another story. People say, "Why? Well, I'm too busy. My life is crazy. I got this, and I got, particularly healthcare work. I got too much to do. I got 15 patients. I got to take care of every hour. I'm out." And I show a film in my keynotes. It's a helmet cam.
Yeah.
Of a battle in Fallujah, where our troops were surrounded, had been surprised, and were surrounded by the enemy.
Right.
And they were being decimated. Men were dead already. Anyway, a guy is running across the field, gets shot in the neck, falls down. A medic jumps up. Now understand, they are surrounded by gunfire.
Right.
Grabs this guy in the sand, throws him over his shoulder without a helmet on, runs over to the evac helicopter, puts him down, and before he lets go, and this is all on film, before he lets his comrade go,
yes,
he gives him a kiss on the forehead.
Oh, I love that. Oh, my God. That's
now,
amazing.
When you think about, did that man feel it? I promise you. Did he remember it? I promise you, for the rest of his life.
Yes.
And so did the person who kissed him. Now, how long did that interaction take? Boop.
Yes.
A nanosecond.
Exactly.
Now, you don't have to kiss people on the forehead unless it's appropriate or touch them.
Right.
But however you express your connection, appreciation, I help you solve this problem? Can I give you a gift? Can I open the door? Any of that.
Yes.
Gets all of those endorphins and serotonins and gets them working and improves our health. And when you get it consistently, it literally will ensure the best outcome in a medical setting in the shortest period of time and the longest long-term health.
Beautiful.
Simple human kindness.
Oh, beautifully said, Lee. And again, you know, it's interesting for me. You said something earlier, which really stuck with me also, that you talk about in your book, is about working on ourselves, being present. And this is one of the most common things I work with. Again, it's profound what you talk about in your book here, is we have to really work with ourselves first before we can put it out there. The way I always end my show, Lee, is saying, take care of yourself first and then you'll be good for others. That is my handle. So you nailed it, you know, and it's how do we do that? Well,
you've been doing it longer than I've been doing it. That's great. And it's true.
And I thank you, sweetheart. And I really think that the way we can do that is, you know, whatever it takes, and I'm not plugging my work, but I mean, go see a specialist.
Absolutely.
or be with more people. And it's working through, I think the big one that goes hand in hand with compassion is self-forgiveness.
Absolutely.
And that's the compassion we have for ourselves. All the things that we beat ourselves up for, got to lose that. Because if you get rid of it, then you can give it. And people say, how can I get it? How can I do that? I've done so many horrible things. Just let it go. Love yourself and work on that.
And give it to others.
That's it.
You want to feel better about yourself. Okay, you've done stuff in the past. That was then, this is now. Now, in the next hour, go out and do one kind act.
Yes.
And then tomorrow, do another one.
Yes.
I promise you, after 30 days or however long you do it, you will feel unimaginably better on every level.
Exactly.
Simple human kindness is what will cure this earth.
Beautiful. Beautifully said. And with that, Lee, we have a hard break coming up. So I just want to ask you, what is the best way that viewers and listeners can get your book and find out more about you and your documentary and your, you know, coming up?
And all that stuff. Amazon.com. www.leetomlinson.com. Lee@leetomlinson.com.
Beautiful. Guys, pick up the book. It's an amazing read for everybody. All right. I love it. Compassion does heal.
Thank you.
And you are so compassionate, and bless you for coming on the show.
Thank you. It's a blessing being here, and I let's do this again sometime when we've got better technology.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Pleasure. Bye-bye.
All right.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.